Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny. We've got 15 more minutes with you on The Fan. The exclusive sponsor of the show is the law firm Kadorian Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you so that you can score a discount. kmlawyers.com. We'll get you a preview of Thursday Night Football in just a second. Last night, Shohei Ohtani joined the club. It's his club. He's the only guy in the club.
I was going to say, how many members? Still one.
It's him. Yeah. 47 in homers, 47 stolen bases. He has not only a really good chance, but is now probably going to go 50-50, which nobody's ever done before, because again, no one's done any of the things that he's doing. Each time he has a homer and a steal, he's the first guy in that club. So now it's the all 47s club for Shohei Ohtani in year one with the Dodgers.
Is one to right center field. He's carrying the bat, and it's a bullet out of here.
And it's home run number 47 for the Big Show. Oh, he lights up this crowd. It is a 2-1 score now.
One thing that I thought was hilarious about some of the coverage the last couple days of what Ohtani's doing is a comment from David Ortiz, who's one of the great defense designated hitters ever. He said, MLB always had an excuse for not giving me the MVP, supposedly because I was designated hitter. I'm going to see what they do this year. I'm going to sit back and wait to see where they run besides Ohtani is MLB's darling. He's suggesting Ohtani's going to win MVP, which he is, because he's Major League Baseball's darling. Ohtani's the anti-David Ortiz. David Ortiz couldn't play in the field at all, and all he could do was hit. He also couldn't run the bases. He was just a big bopping masher. Ohtani has 50 stolen bases, will soon, will have 50 home runs, and is rehabbing from his injury where he's one of the 10 best pitchers in the game. Just a stunning, unbelievable season and a really bad take from David Ortiz.
So he had years where he absolutely could have won the MVP.
Yeah, when another guy was great and also played in the field.
Totally. But even with that, if you're asking me would I have given it to him over Justin Morneau in 2006 upon retrospect, maybe I could. I could be talked into that. But that's neither here nor there. The implication of, well, I never won it. So the only reason Ohtani's winning it is some sort of like he's their darling or he sells a ticket or something like that. What? No. There have been guys that have, respectfully, that have hit 50 bombs and 130 plus RBIs like Ortiz did in the mid-2000s. And Ortiz is great. He's a damn Hall of Famer, for God's sakes. Right? I mean, the iconic moments in Boston are his. Right? He's the number one curse breaker. Superstar, should be in rarefied air, and he is. But the idea that because he didn't win the MVP, somehow it's this weird Ohtani conspiracy. Just such a bizarre opinion to me from a guy that I generally respect an awful lot.
Well, he was told along the way, I'm sure, or at least acknowledged, it's hard for me to win because I only hit. And that's what, to him, DH meant. And I think that was held against him.
Mm-hmm.
Surely it was that he was just a DH. But he was a DH because quite literally, if he had to play in the field, he wouldn't have been a starter.
You're very bad at it.
It would not have worked. It would have been a disaster. He had a frying pan for a glove. Ohtani plays, at times, a premium defensive position when, you know, he is, and he hasn't been here this year, but when he's been asked to play in the outfield, is an athlete who could run around if they needed to him in center, but he's a pitcher and a hitter. This year, he's just a hitter. He is just a DH, but he impacts the game on the base paths as much as anybody not named Ellie De La Cruz. He impacts the game offensively in a way that nobody else has other than Aaron Judge this year. I just thought it was a bad take, and it sounded like sour grapes from David Ortiz. Let's hit the headlines in our final few minutes. We'll start in the AFC of the NFL, where there is a game tonight between the Bills and the Dolphins. T. Higgins is confused by talk that he is faking an injury. Told ESPN on Thursday that he is, in fact, hurt, and anybody who thinks he's just now not playing because this is a continuation of a holdout is wrong. He said, quote, I just don't understand why fans think I'm faking an injury when for me to get an extension for a contract, the deadline is over. I just don't understand why they think I'm faking an injury. It doesn't make sense to me. He didn't practice. He said he wasn't going to play without a new contract. That probably has something to do with it. I personally don't think he is faking the injury, but I can understand where fans would be skeptical when a guy who was at odds and angry at the team is now pops up on an injury report and could be out for a few weeks and no one really knows where the injury came from.
You're at odds with the team. You said as much. You're on record, I believe, as saying I'm not going to play without a new contract, and you don't have a new contract. That's where they're getting it from. Now, I don't, for one second, unless there's a report I don't know about, believe that he's faking an injury. That is no way to get what you want. What you ultimately want is a long-term deal, whether it's there or somewhere else. You don't get that by faking an injury and not playing. That's going to, what we like to call this in the industry, hurting your value. That is hurting your value. He needs to play and play good football and demonstrate that he still can. I believe he can, by the way. So, yeah, that's not in his best interest to go out there and, or not go out there, as the case may be, and, you know, go, my neck and my back. I can't go today, Skip. That's I don't buy that for a second.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
On to Thursday Night Football, Bills-Dolphins. You heard me say earlier to our guest, Will Brinson, I'm sneaky picking Miami in this game.
Do you have a good feel
for
this game tonight?
No. I think Buffalo is better than Miami. I think it's early enough in the season that doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it's an early game, meaning Thursday Night Football, like throw everything out, it's just now strange. And same kind of thing I said, honestly, with the international game for the Packers and the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
These week two, it's a half week after the season started. You're not in any kind of a flow. It's really strange. I know that they've dealt with some injuries with Jalen Waddle, and the Dolphins don't have Raheem Mostert tonight, so they're also banged up. But my big concern for Buffalo is, A, the heat. You're playing in Miami in September. Look at how much they cover, how often they win in those games, especially in the 1 o'clock. But obviously it'll be a night game, a little different, but it's still nasty and sweaty for a team that isn't going to deal with that a whole lot this season to the extent that they will tonight. The other thing is they don't have 30 points in them right now, I don't think. I know they had to win a game with 34 when Josh Allen went nuts in the second
Superman
half.
Stuff, yeah.
But that was Arizona. It's a different thing, not a division game against a team that knows you, knows what you want to do. That was cross-conference, team you barely play. You're in the East, they're in the West kind of deal. I don't think they're going to score 30-plus on Miami. So unless they can hold the Dolphins' offense in check, I just don't see them keeping up. I pick them to beat Miami probably 90, 80% of the time.
Uh-huh.
Tonight's just a weird night where I'm kind of sniffing the Dolphins.
So watching Buffalo against Arizona, I saw a lot of that game this past weekend. They were really kind of in the mud, sort of like stuck in neutral for a while, right? On offense, on defense, just sort of didn't look up to snuff. And Arizona got a lead on them and was probably the better team for most of the game. Then you said it, Josh Allen turned into Superman. And Buffalo hit that gear and Arizona couldn't match it. So I'm going, okay, you can't get away with that against Miami, right? Well, Miami did the exact same thing against Jacksonville, where they're sleepwalking through, and it's only a fluke fumble that turned that game around. They shouldn't have won it either. I just don't, if Miami had been playing well, and I saw what I saw from Buffalo, this is like week three or four, right? And Miami had already played well, got up to a 3-1 start, and Buffalo had been kind of slogging their way through to 2-1 and had eked out a win, kind of playing the way that they had. I'd go, I got a good feeling about Miami. I really have no idea who's showing up tonight for both of these teams. I'm leaning Miami, but that's one of those, like, my voice is going up.
Well, I know this. If Miami loses this game and they're 1-1, the feeling tomorrow, fair or not, is just going to be that they're
we couldn't
good.
Meet the bullies.
Yeah, they're good, but they're just not good enough. Mm-hmm. Like, the Bills are still a lot better. And I just think the Bills are there for the taking. It's kind of a if not when.
Yeah, now's the time, right?
If not now, when kind of deal where they don't know who their weapons are. They don't really have everything sorted out on offense. It's kind of a Josh Allen, James Cook mismatch where they're going to be running the ball and playing closer games. And I think that should theoretically play into Miami's hands, although it is true that the Dolphins are injured a little bit more than they'd like to be, too, on offense. But you got Tyreek Hill, and when you got Tyreek Hill, you got a shot.
Absolutely.
That is a strike up the band, make it easy kind of guy.
See if he goes in motion tonight. I think he will.
Raheem Mostert, chest out. I believe I mentioned that. He will not be going tonight, so throw him onto the pile for Miami in terms of the injuries. All right, let's get you ready for Nats baseball. They are coming your way against the Miami Marlins over at Nationals Park at 6:45 this evening. Your Nats starting lineup and pitching matchup is presented by the Window Man. Since 1989, the Window Man has been the educational window company. Get your free, no pressure, in-home estimate at thewindowman.com or at their Fairfax showroom.
Behind Mitchell Parker, where we gonna pitch, Miss Parker? Leading off playing shortstop, Abrams batting second in right field. Dylan Cruz batting third in left field. The James Wood. Quick pause. Abrams, Cruz, Wood, 1, 2, 3 in the order. Yes, please. Thank you very much, Davey Martinez.
That's the good stuff.
Back to your lineup. Your DH batting cleanup, Andres Chaparro. Batting fifth at third base, Jose Tenya. Batting sixth doing the catching, K-Bear Ruiz. Batting seventh at second base, Luis Garcia. Batting eighth at first, that's Joey Gallo. Batting ninth in center field, your guy, my guy, our guy. That is Jacob Young.
Mitchell Parker, the 24-year-old lefty, 6 hits, 4 runs, and 4 walks, didn't get out of the fourth inning in his last start against the Pirates. Look at the splits for him. It has been a rough second half.
Yeah. Pre-All-Star. We're out of steam a little bit, feels like, right?
Oh, yeah. Pre-All-Star break, 237 average against and a 3.9 ERA. Post-All-Star break, a 304 average against and a 5.56 earned run average.
Okay, so the pre was better than the post, yeah.
Looked like a mid-rotation big league starter for a little while, and it's kind of cooled off in a big way. But he's been durable. He's a horse of sorts, and you know he's a guy that can go out any given outing and give you 6 innings, and they're hoping for that some length tonight for the Nationals. Let's get to your Nats weather report presented by Pepco. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco because storm season's here, and they know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm-informed at pepco.com/stormprep. Our show meteorologist is Darris Dameron.
Temperatures are a fallen. It'll be 78 degrees by first pitch tonight. A little bit cloudy, but no worries. No precipitation in the area. It'll dip down into the high 60s by the end of the game. Should be a good night in Nats Park.
You and I will experience it in person as we get ready to head over to Nationals Park.
Oh, neato, gang.
For some baseball. By the way, I had to fill out today the media awards given to the Nationals each baseball season. I didn't have to turn it back in today, but it was sent today, I guess I should say. The player of the year, the pitcher of the year, and the good guy of the year for the Washington Nationals. Player of the year was somewhat difficult for me, and I'm still workshopping it. I actually tweeted a poll just to get the pulse of the people at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. To me, to be the Nationals player of the year, you probably had to have been here for the vast majority of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So that excludes James Wood, who's going to end up playing about half a year. Certainly anybody who came up after him in early July. They've basically only got 4 guys who have been here all season because of the trades and all of the demotions and promotions.
Yep.
C.J. Abrams, who is the 5th National to ever have a 20-homer, 20-steal season, has 20 bolts and 28 stolen bases. Luis Garcia, who got his act together and had an excellent year compared to his past. Jacob Young, who's been one of the great defensive center fielders in baseball and has a team-high 31 steals. And then catcher K-Bert Ruiz, who has actually been pretty solid in the second half of the season, if you look at the numbers.
Got off to that rotten start, yeah.
Horrendous. Mm-hmm. And the numbers, because of that, are going to end up being really bad.
Yep.
But, like, he is on a 28-homer, I think it is, pace, basically, since the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been a lot better since then. But Abrams, Garcia, Young, Ruiz, those are the only guys essentially that have been here all year that you could even consider for player of the year. I think I'm going to go with Jacob Young, which I think is a minority opinion because Abrams with the home runs and the steals is flashier and Garcia has some better counting stats, certainly more power. Young's not a high OPS guy, 257 average, a lot of just base hits. But the 30 steals, I think, allow me to slot him in based on his premium defense. He's been immaculate in center field. And if you look at it right now, he's worth more wins. His WAR, B-WAR, I would imagine, is F-WAR as well. But his B-WAR is the highest on the team, slightly ahead of C.J. Abrams, which means he's been the most valuable National. So even though I think he might not win it, that's the guy I'm going to vote for.
Yeah, that's not crazy, by the way. I mean, you look at Abrams overall, because the 2 months that he was just incredible, buoyed over his overall numbers, but almost identical slash line to last year in terms of batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS. Ultimately, not maybe as much growth as we thought.
For Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. Big thanks to Darris and Ryan behind the scenes for their production. As always, you want more on the Nats, we got an episode of Bustin' Loose Baseball that is out for you. It's a terrific Nationals podcast. Speaking of the Nats, game time now.
Thank you for coming.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.